Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Club dub was turned into a verb. Like they, it was like they were debating run or pass for a play call, or like to go for it or not to go for it. It was to dub or not to dub. That is the question.
You're gonna club dub this win? You're going to club dub this win, guys? Come on.
You know, I think the least of my concerns is club dub. And I agree wholeheartedly, by the way. I would not have done it.
Dan, sports fan, we're so often just...
It's the best.
How do we all get happy at the same time, right?
That's right.
They win a game and you're upset.
As of right now, I would close club dub for the next few games until we earn the right to have it open.
No.
You got to earn the right to go into club dub.
Oh, boy.
Texter, club dub for meaningless wins is the most millennial thing ever.
Go ahead and dub it up.
Close club dub, mob.
Shade town, shut down.
Club dub,
mob.
Let the mob in club
Free
dub.
Free club dub! Come on, people!
These are the smallest issues of our time.
Close club dub.
Close.
What?
A health inspection violations at club dub.
I watched you pick up raw chicken all night in your hand and then touch cooked food. Take that food, throw it away. Throw it all away. Shut it down.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginnings.
Club dub morning popping, baby.
Club dub about to be popping.
Sorry, we're closed.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Club dub will never close, my friend.
Oh, man. And if it does, they'll have to play that song on a loop for like a month. If it does. Closing time?
Of course.
That song warms the cockles of my heart. On a day where temperatures are in single digits, I needed some cockle warming.
It's brutal out there.
Yeah, it's not nice.
It's absolutely miserable.
Don't worry about it. Only 6 more months of it.
Yeah, exactly. God, I love this town. Sometimes you wonder why you love it so much. But
yeah.
Then the summer comes.
Chicago tough.
That's exactly right.
That's what we are.
Allegedly.
We're getting our characters built for the next 6 months.
What I don't like is this year there was no easing into it. We just went from like 70s to 30s to zero.
Here you go.
Yeah. And it's winter now. There's no fall weather, no like nice 50s week or so. No, just straight to the crappy, just worst weather we get in this city.
It's like Mother Nature said, oh, so you guys wanted to bitch about your high humidity in July? Here you go.
Well, it's like Shep said, I'll take 365 more of them.
Right. Studsy, if you're going to fill in for Shep, you have to have irrationally bad movie takes, which you took care of with Ryan Golsing earlier, but also really odd weather-related material. You got to love this, okay? That's your job.
Oh, no, I won't go that far. I don't love this. Although, I mean, I guess you could make an argument for my stupidity because I frequently play, the guys I play flag football with, I frequently play in this kind of weather without wearing long sleeves and with wearing shorts. So I guess I do enjoy it on some level.
All right. That's Shepian.
My argument is they're like, how are you not wearing how are you not wearing at least like a long sleeve Under Armour? It's like, well, once we get into the game, I don't notice it. It just doesn't feel good.
Okay, Shep Jr.
There it is.
It makes us feel comfortable. Thank you.
I told you. I gotta make sure he's not missed.
Thank you. This hour on The Score brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store. So, odd day. We learned that the Bears did not extend the same amount of time and resources to visiting with Deshaun Watson as they did Pat Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky pre-2017 draft from Rich Campbell and Dan Wiederer. We've learned that the NFL is going to be holding a workout that all teams are invited to attend for Colin Kaepernick.
This Saturday in Atlanta, an organized workout. Yeah,
yeah, there are.
I assume NFL Network will have this.
I don't know
if
it'll be live broadcast or not.
Of course it will.
I hope so. That would be good TV. I haven't seen that it's going to be broadcast if it's open to the public.
Well, we just learned about it an hour ago. I think NFL Network is going to go live from Atlanta. Why wouldn't they?
I have no idea if that.
I mean, it's the NFL having the workout.
Yeah, I know, but do you think that they want to?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
See, I'll bet against that too. Listen, call me a cynic. I don't know that they necessarily want to profit off all this yet.
Well, by having the workout, maybe, I'm just saying, just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saying, maybe we were wrong here. Maybe we should let this guy work for a living. Maybe we need to be a little bit more progressive in our thinking. So let's get everybody together, invite every team in the league, which might be interested in hiring Colin Kaepernick, and let's have a workout. And then let's pop it on television and continue to stomp on every other sport in terms of interest level.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
It's been years. You know,
yeah.
I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong.
Maybe people on Park Avenue saw Mitch Trubisky and Jeff Driscoll battle for 3 hours on Sunday and said,
yeah,
can Kaepernick be any worse than this?
How amazing would it be if they were like, listen, it was bad when J.P. Lossman got a call after Clemson's pro day, okay, when he was 38 years old. That was bad, all right? Ryan Finley was bad. But Driscoll v. Trubisky, that was the final straw. We have to end it. We saw Mitch Trubisky outduel Jeff Driscoll, and that's what allowed the ban to be lifted on Colin Kaepernick. It's possible.
Something. Yeah, we were both upset early on today regarding the news that came out of the Tribune over Ryan Pace not doing his due diligence during the draft process when he was committed to getting a quarterback in the first round and trading up for Mitch Trubisky, learning he spent zero time with Deshaun Watson.
Well, not zero. He met it with him at the combine.
Well, other than the cursory interviews
correct.
In Indianapolis,
correct.
Right.
Yeah.
He did not conduct the same six-hour skull session he did with two other quarterbacks.
And I don't get it.
Mitch Trubisky must have really done. He must have said something really interesting in those 6 hours. What possibly could he have done that would have led the general manager and other scouts and coaches to say, "Okay, we've seen enough." How could you draw that from Trubisky 3 years ago?
I have no idea.
To him now, and he doesn't possess confidence and leadership qualities. What the hell did he sell them on?
I have no idea. Tanny asked the question 2 weeks ago after one of Deshaun Watson's viral moment press conferences where it's like, man, this guy's got a dizzying football intellect. How could you possibly spend time with Trubisky and Watson and come away thinking Trubisky was the better fit? And we all, and I'm throwing media, fans, all of us, I think, operated under an assumption post-2017 draft that Ryan Pace evaluated all of the top quarterbacks the same. Hey, I'm gonna go to Lubbock and take out Pat Mahomes to dinner and work him out privately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go to North Carolina and take the Trubisky out to dinner and work him out privately. I assumed he did the same thing with Deshaun Watson, and bad job by me for assuming. I gave him the benefit of the doubt that he scouted all of these guys the same and then fell in love with Trubisky's skill set and not the other way around. It's like he saw something on film, made a predetermination that that was his guy, and then did everything that he could not to eliminate everybody else. How do you not meet with Deshaun Watson? How do you not do it when you're supposed to go get a quarterback in that draft? I don't understand.
It's inexcusable. It's unconscionable. I was stunned by it. You're that committed to doing it. You got three guys to spend a day with, but you're only going to choose to do it with two of them. Why?
Yeah.
Why, what else were you doing that was so important
right.
where you couldn't spend another 6 hours with a guy who's won national titles?
Yeah, played in two, won three playoff games, had over 900 yards and 8 touchdowns in 2 games against Alabama, beat Lamar Jackson in a head-to-head duel, beat Florida State when they were top 10, beat Auburn when they were top 25, beat Notre Dame, beat Ohio State, beat Oklahoma.
The magnitude of what that position carries,
yeah.
you know? Franchises' fortunes swing based on a quarterback, and you have three applicants, but you're only going to sit with 2 of them.
It's insane.
Now I'm getting worked up like you were 3 hours ago.
Listen, man, it's indefensible, and I would argue unforgivable. The only reason I say it's not fireable is because since then he built that defense and now he actually has some pelts on the wall. You could convince me it's fireable.
Yeah.
Well, you can convince me it's fireable.
I can't. The only person who needs to be convinced is, I don't know who's going to pull the strings. Hub says George McCaskey would be the guy who makes the call. Ted Phillips still has his fingers in all the pies. I think it would be a discussion between George and Ted, and maybe Virginia would be included in this. I've gotten the impression since they hired Ryan Pace, they treat him like a son. They love this guy. And is some of it misguided? Perhaps. But whether we think it's a terminable offense or not, they won't. This dude's coming back.
And
this guy's coming back to pick your next quarterback, too.
Well, so just
the same guy who thought Mike Glennon was a good idea, the same guy who didn't sit with Deshaun Watson, is going to choose who's going to be in camp with Troops next summer.
Just think about this. When we got that revelation today in that piece in the Tribune, that means that John Gruden spent more time with Deshaun Watson before the draft for a television show.
In the trailer, yes.
Then the general manager right. of the Chicago Bears, who had the 3rd overall pick and a mandate to find a quarterback in that draft. That is a staggering thing to learn. People say, oh, you're beating a dead horse. That is new information today.
Yeah, this just came out today.
I texted with Rich Campbell this morning. I'm like, that is previously unreported information, right? He said, yes, to the best of my knowledge, that had not been out there anywhere.
I've not seen it. I've not heard it.
It came from Deshaun Watson's camp, one of his 2 quarterback coaches. And we also learned that John Fox recommended Deshaun Watson and that Jordan Palmer, who worked out Deshaun Watson and was a former Bear, recommended Deshaun Watson to the Bears. And I'm not saying he has to take the recommendation of John Fox or Palmer or anyone else. It's Pace's decision to make. But it's not as if there were not Ryan or Deshaun Watson advocates in his inner circle, or who should have been in his inner circle, who could have said, you know, maybe we should go and have a one-on-one workout with the guy who won the Davey O'Brien Award twice and was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy.
Just from a strategic standpoint, I mean, is that something that an agent may disclose off the record? Like, hey, the Bears never met with my client. So if you're the Chiefs sitting there at 10, you know for sure that you're not going to have to move up because you know you're going to get Mahomes or Watson most likely. You don't have to worry about because they didn't even meet with Watson.
Yeah.
Like, just from a strategic standpoint, that seems dumb.
And you're going to have to play against them. Like, you're supposed to scout guys who could be franchise quarterbacks.
Ryan Pace was the cat from draft day who played Jeff Carlson. Was that the guy's name? The rookie general manager with the Jaguars? The guy who was so nervous that Sonny Weaver Jr. fleeced on draft day?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Guy nervously sitting in his office fumbling the phone when it rings. It's Cleveland. He's so nervous.
I mean, in all fairness, though, Mac, Mitch Trubisky was the only one that was honest about the money taped to the back of the playbook, so let's be a little more kind here about this.
Yeah, he went and bought a comic book.
We were too quick
to throw, you know, let's
of all the things.
What you just said about the defense, though, and I'm one of the guys who was willing to, after 4 weeks this year, delude himself into believing this defense had a chance to be comparable to 85.
Yeah.
The more we've seen it, and it's not the problems aren't on the defense comparatively, way, way, way more on the offense. But I think we were a little bit quick to hurl superlatives and rose petals at Ryan Pace's feet. He's done some really good things with the defense. But The jury is still out on Roquan Smith, who is not having a great sophomore year. It was a good decision to re-sign Kyle Fuller. I thought at the time it was wrong. I'll give him credit for that. The Mac trade probably will wind up being a good one. Probably.
Yeah.
He's not been as effective these last few weeks since they have not had Akeem Hicks.
No question.
I didn't know the Hicks departure was going to make Mac's numbers suffer as significantly as they have, but that's hurt. And with Trevathan out now, I think they're going to be pretty ordinary. And the guys I was expecting to step up, like Roy Robertson Harris, and I know Nick Williams leads the team in sacks with 6, which ain't enough for the team lead through 9 games. Those guys aren't front-level guys.
I agree completely.
Aaron Lynch ain't a front-level guy.
Well, and that's why any conversation about like what the Bears can still make this season about, the rest of this season is about evaluating who should be here next season. I'm sorry. I know they won't operate that way, but they'll get there soon enough. I don't know if they'll get there when they lose their 7th game or their 8th game or their 9th game, but all of those things are going to happen. This team did not magically turn into last year's team because they beat the Lions without Matt Stafford by 7. Their defense is not as good. Their offense is worse. They are an easy out.
And their special teams remain hugely questionable, too.
Yeah,
they give up way too much. They don't have a trustworthy kicker.
Yeah, so
and that hasn't even been talked about this week. The dude missed a freaking extra point Sunday. He missed a PAT.
That's correct. I just find it to be comical. Like that, if people want to do the mental gymnastics about the playoffs, okay, fine. Win 4 more games in a row. And then you can maybe dream based on seeing what the other teams in the league have done. But all you got to do is read the standings in the NFC to understand why that is such an unbelievable long shot for this team. So if you want to be like Studsy and be the guy who says, until it's 0%, I'm still holding out hope. Fine. I'm not telling you not to. But how I will be evaluating this team is big picture stuff. Because the micro for this year, it doesn't matter anymore. They are not making the playoffs. It's not happening. The NFC is too good. It's just too good.
Yeah, the NFC is in fact stacked. And last night's football game, if you missed it, man, you just get a chance. You know, if you get the chance on NFL Network when they re-rack them or wherever it is you go to watch games, try and make an effort to find this one. It might have been my favorite game of the year because of all the takeaways. Not just bad football where the quarterbacks are throwing, guys stripping the ball with, you know, rude intentions and 10 sacks. Both teams had 5 sacks. There were 3 fumbles recovered by the opponent last night. A couple of interceptions. Big plays by the defense. And both teams with a semblance of a running game, which I kind of like.
It was a great game. If you can run effectively, it's beautiful. I just don't think the Bears are built for it, which is why I push against it. Like, they're built in a different model, and now they're trying to turn into this whole team. I mean, they signed a tight end to be a fullback. Like, this is not by design, so I think it's kind of painful to watch the Bears to try to do it. But Kyle Shanahan and his 4 running backs, or Chris Carson and that offensive line, yeah, that's running football that I can get behind. And the play by DeForest Buckner, the takeaway was incredible, but I still...
He's got it. No, I've got it.
It was awesome. But I still, when I watch Russell Wilson play, I'm amazed. Every time. Talk about throwing on the run, improvisation, backing out of the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield. And then, I know that they mention it seemingly all the time on the national broadcast, you know, Russell Wilson played baseball.
Right.
It's a huge part of his story. You see when he does run, how good he is at sliding?
Yes.
Nothing about it is awkward. That's why he doesn't take big hits. He knows how to get down and slide, whereas when Mitch was running, it'd be all awkward and clunky and, you know.
The non-committal slide where instead of the foot going down first, the knee goes down first and he falls forward.
Russell Wilson slides like he's Javi Baez.
Grace and flowing robes.
Oh, it's striking. Speaking of the Cubs, what's Wilson Contreras doing on social media, Tanny? Can you give me my millennial report, please?
No.
I will try and paraphrase. I was listening to the midday show. It was washing all over me today, and they were evaluating his Instagram story, so I don't think I can pull a lot of that up anymore. But I can tell you what Wilson Contreras is doing on Twitter. He about 6 hours ago, he changed his profile picture. And, you know, when you can do that, you can either choose to announce that you're changing your profile picture,
of
your
course.
Avatar, or not, you know. he chose to announce it, hashtag new profile pic, new avatar. He changed it. I don't know what it was before, but currently it is just him in the National League All-Star uniform. And, you know, there's not many Cubs logos present, except a little one on the pants.
So it's not a Cubs picture anymore.
Correct.
It's just a National League All-Star picture.
Yeah. And in his bio, it says catcher for the Chicago Cubs with, like, the big cheesy grin emoji.
So that's new too.
So what are we supposed to read into this?
Well,
anything?
Well, it's just out there. It's a thing. It's kind of curious timing. And the midday show was talking about how he changed. He posted a quote, something about lions in battle leading dogs, something like that.
Like, so if, he's if in you his have feelings a, on social media.
If you have a lion leading a bunch of dogs into battle, the dogs will act like lions. But if you have the reversal of that, I'm getting into Grobstein territory here. But
or
yeah.
Dan Hampton.
Yeah. So, you know, there is some cryptic stuff. If you know, it could be nothing. It could be a Jordan Howard situation. You never know.
Right, so Jordan Howard, he took all the pictures down of the Bears on Instagram when the trade rumors were going about. There was a lot of trade rumors. The Athletic wrote a big piece on why trading Wilson Contreras could be the best option for the Cubs at the GM meeting. So it's possible that Wilson Contreras is reading the headlines. And clearly, Theo met with a bunch of the reporters yesterday, but those quotes were not available publicly. But everybody wrote columns about how Theo is going to – we're not going to entertain and engage in every trade rumor. There are real human consequences on the other end of this. And, you know, but we know that our guys are going to be there because he spoke to the – basically the reality of we can't just take all of these guys till the end of their service time, 2021, and get one draft pick. So if guys aren't going to sign extensions, there are going to need to be moves to be made. And Wilson Contreras – I've talked about it with Spiegel in here, Mac, multiple times. He thinks trading Bryant makes the most sense. I think trading Contreras makes the most sense just because catchers don't age very well, and Victor Caratini's not bad.
Yeah, that, and he has broken down. I don't know if it's necessarily breaking down physically, but he has not kept up same pace offensive stats for 2 years consecutively now. He's been a non-factor late in seasons as a slugger. He just doesn't do it.
So if a team wants to say, hey, there's 3 years of a power-hitting catcher who's well-liked by his teammates and a multi-time All-Star, will give you three top prospects for him who are basically Major League ready, It wouldn't surprise me at all if Theo Epstein pulled the trigger on a Wilson Contreras trade. It would be very unpopular in the clubhouse, but I definitely think it's within the realm of possibility for this
time
season.
To now worry about that clubhouse
I
and
agree.
The sensibilities in there. I think they've been way protected way too long.
I agree completely. Rick Hahn and Jed Hoyer both spoke today. Theo spoke yesterday. Kenny Williams spoke yesterday. Bruce Levine was there for all of it. We go to Arizona to find out what's real at the GM meetings. Next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, it's kind of my experience that people aren't too interested. Maybe outside this room, people aren't too interested in sort of hearing about the labor. They want to see the baby. So if we wind up converting on any of these potential free agent targets or via trade, then we will happily go into great detail about how it came to be. But until we have an actual closed deal to talk about, not too much to say along those lines.
Who's your favorite rock star?
Your Prince.
Ross. Bruce.
Prince.
Bruce.
Bruce Levine.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now. That is absolutely the slickest way you have ever.
670 The Score's Baseball Insider.
Bruce, I would swim the Mississippi River for you.
Well, you don't have to go that far. Mark Twain said the same thing, you know, back when.
About you?
Yeah, when I first started covering baseball. Yeah.
Covering the Cubs and Sox for over 30 years.
Deep left field. It's got a chance. Cubs win.
Johan Moncada with another triple.
Bruce Levine with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Love hearing that open again for our guy, Bruce Levine. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Go to wolves.com, chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how to get your team on the ice to play during intermission of a Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves. Bruce is on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. In Arizona, the quote you heard leading into the open was from Rick Hahn. All of the baseball brain trust in Chicago has spoke. Bruce, thanks for the time. How's it going in Arizona?
It's going well. You know, it's the beginning of the off season. This is where it's all kicked off, where agents for the free agents come to talk to the GMs for the first time. GMs come here to get the rules straight for next year with Major League Baseball, and the trade talks begin. So all of that is, you know, into the mix here as we begin the offseason for baseball.
And Bruce, Rick said nobody wants to hear about the labor involved. They want to hear about the baby, likening it to the birth of a child, which Danny gets to experience in mid-March and Shep just experienced. I want to know who impregnated the White Sox to get them into labor. What's going on? What are some of the rumors you're hearing about what the White Sox might be doing?
Well, first and foremost, Jose Abreu will be a Chicago White Sox player sooner rather than later. Now, he has to respond to the qualifying offer by Thursday of $17.8 million. That's given to your own free agents at the end of the year. If they accept that qualifying offer, it's a one-year contract, and they give up free agency for the 1 year. It's a good amount of money. He made $16 million last year. But that's not what he's looking for. So I expect within the next week or two that, at the very latest, maybe much quicker, that Abreu will sign a three-year deal with the White Sox somewhere in the $50 to $55 million area, and that'll solve their first base situation and, you know, kind of settle the clubhouse. A lot of the young Sox players want this to happen. Jose pretty much gave up his free agent rights by saying he's going to be a White Sox player no matter what. So with all that in mind, that's the first step. The rest is identifiable as far as pitching. The White Sox are going to go after starting pitchers. No, they will be not be making a $250 to $300 million offer for Gerrit Cole, but they will be going after veteran-type pitchers who fit into the mold. And that will be the type of pitchers like a Dallas Keuchel, a possibly a Zach Wheeler, a Wade Miley. So they need a couple of those guys to lead, help lead that young, that very good-looking young staff, and then a left-handed hitter for ideally right field.
The White Sox were willing to make a $250 million offer to Manny Machado. Is it possible they'll do the same for Anthony Rendon?
No, Manny signed already. Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Thank you. Is there
will they do the same for who?
For Rendon, is there a possibility that there is a big wow type of offer for a position player, if not a pitcher?
You know, people would kill me if I said there's no room for the White Sox for one of the best hitters in baseball, so I'm not going to say that. I will tell you that the infield is not the area I think that they're trying to solidify. They believe Moncada was, he had a great year. He did. And if you look at everything, including his WAR, he had a fine year for the Chicago White Sox at third. They have Madrigal, their number one pick from 2018. He will be the second baseman for the Chicago White Sox this year. Yomar Sanchez, even though he won a gold glove, will be playing somewhere else or sign a 2 or 3 year deal with the White Sox for less than he's going to make in arbitration. So the infield is not where they're going, but you never say never with a guy like Rendon, who certainly would change the course of a lot of teams. But I don't think they're throwing 30 times 7 or 8 for Rendon. So with that said, I think they're going to go after left-handed hitting. I think they'll do it via free agency rather than trade. And, you know, some guys that are out there are available. Cole Calhoun is the type of player that played for the Angels. He's not going to remind you of Anthony Rendon at any point. But they are looking to solidify their outfield. They feel Luis Robert's going to be their center fielder, if not opening day, a couple weeks afterwards. And I think their money is going to be spent in some of these areas for multiple players.
Bruce, do you expect some free agents to still be out there looking for a suitor when teams report to training camp again this February for a third straight year?
Yeah, Mac, it's a great question, you know, because that's been the MO the last 2 years. Major League Baseball is certainly concerned about it, but, you know, ownership has come up with a new way of handling free agency and pretty much neutering a lot of the agents that handle middle-range free agents. You know, I mean, they're being pushed out of the game as far as making long-term contracts. They have to sign short-term deals. And the big boys still get their money, but as you said, you know, we waited an eternity for Machado and Harper to get paid last year. And the sense is that since Scott Boras, who will be talking here today, tomorrow at the GM meetings, controls 6 or 7 of the top free agents, that he's gonna wait for the best and possibly the longest bid that he can get, and that might mean January or February again. That doesn't mean he won't sign somebody at the winter meetings if he hears the right numbers, but for his guys, the right numbers are 35 times 6, 7, 8. You know, I heard the number out there for Cole starting at 300, that Boras is going to start the number at 300, you know, 300 million. So you dice it out by 6, 7, 8, and you figure out what the AAV is on that.
Bruce Levine is at the general manager meetings in Arizona. What smoke signals are the Cubs putting out in terms of where they stand right now?
Well, you know, we talked to Jed Hoyer a few minutes ago here at the GM meetings and, you know, pretty much asked him, you know, what does the picture look like for the Chicago Cubs right now?
I still think we have a lot of pieces that can move around the board a bit. And so, you know, I think as we think about what we're going to do, not only here, you know, have conversations here, but for the whole winter, I mean, there's a big picture element to it, and where, you know, I think that we're not going to be entirely married to, you know, this position or that position, but, you know, making moves that that makes sense both, you know, long term and short term. And, you know, like I said, we do have pieces you can move around, and that makes us able to do that. We don't have, you know, particular holes we feel like we have to spend the whole winter trying to fill, but rather we can make some moves maybe a little bit more strategically. So
GM speak, that means they're offering contracts again to some of their bigger players, Bryant, Baez, Contreras, Schwarber, and depending on that response, guys, that's how it's going to be, how they're going to figure out how they manipulate some of those guys. If they don't sign and they're only a couple years here, they have to maximize one or two of them possibly in trades to get back 3 or 4 really good players from somewhere else to continue to be competitive beyond just 2020.
You know, listen, I think they're going to listen on everybody. I think everyone knows they're going to listen on everyone, which I'm worried drives the price down. Do you think it's more likely that they trade Bryant or Contreras?
I think more likely Bryant. And the reason I say that is because he's a final piece for a lot of teams. When they look at, you know, just look at the player. He can play left, right. He can play first, third, he, and not just play, but play them well. And he's always still a very athletic player, one of the best base runners on the team. And he hasn't realized all of his potential yet. Injury has taken away some of that from him, in particular in 2018 and at the end of the year in 2019. But if you look at it, if you believe in WAR, whether it's, you know, Baseball Reference or whichever, he's still one of the top players in the game. I think with 2 years left on a contract, you get back three or four good young players that are close from a team like Atlanta, who will certainly be interested in third base, or a team like San Diego, who would certainly implement a Chris Bryant into the outfield as they help to define a team that they feel is close to a championship.
Every Chris Bryant fan points to the WAR. Yeah, look at the WAR. Look at the WAR. Look at the WAR. Look at OPS. Look at those. Those are good numbers. They're still good numbers. Problem with him last year, Bruce, he didn't drive in runs late in games when he needed to, and against the two most important teams, he sucked. In 33 games against the Cardinals and Brewers, he hit two homers, drove in nine runs with an on-base percentage of .293. That's not going to do it against the best teams in your division.
Mac, it's a fair observation and good work on your part, you know, checking that out. And that's true. I mean, look at his RBI total, if you still believe in that number as an important number, which I do. They've been low for a while. Now, one of those factors is that Joe has batted him second in an order since Dexter Fowler left, where the on-base guy, on the first guy in the batting order wasn't getting on base a lot. And if he was, it was a guy that had to be driven around by three hits or a home run. So that's a factor. But I don't think there's any denying that at playing at age 28, that Chris Bryant is an important player for the Cubs or an extremely attractive player for somebody else.
Bruce, what is the discussion about the allegations of cheating using technology to sign steal? Ken Rosenthal's piece in The Athletic, Danny Farquhar quoted as saying that they were using technology, they were picking up his changeup, and the Astros, another allegation of cheating. What's the talk at the meetings about it?
You know, I asked Rick Hahn about that, and he said, you know, every team tries to take advantage of every other team according to the rules. Once you break Major League Baseball's rules and you're caught doing it, that's a different story. What was implemented, guys, I hope you find this interesting, is that 2 years ago, Major League Baseball started putting young people in every baseball locker room. Or area where they have cameras, and they are to be the watchdog for Major League Baseball to make sure that they're using their video and their cameras in a proper way and that they're not stealing signs. So that's been implemented already by Major League Baseball by this. But again, Jeff Luhnow of the Astros talked when he came into the meeting an hour and a half ago, and he said at this point, the Astros are doing everything they can to cooperate with Major League Baseball. He has no other comments. But it is something that's not new. I can tell you, teams like the Chicago White Sox, teams like, almost all the teams going back into the 70s, as I remember, used signaling from the scoreboard to let a hitter know if it's a fastball or a breaking ball coming. How did they determine that? Same way. They used TV monitors from somebody watching them somewhere else in a clubhouse, and then using simple measures as flashing a red light or a white light from a control system, you know, somewhere in the clubhouse. I know that as a fact.
Bruce,
so it's nothing new.
We appreciate the information today. Have a great week out there. We envy you.
Yes, we do.
65 degree differential right now, Chicago and Phoenix. It's 81 in Phoenix right now, 16 here.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and enjoy it.
Enjoy yourself. Go to Don and Charlie's and overeat.
I wish it was still there.
Oh,
man.
They're gone now?
Long,
oh, no.
Long gone. Yeah, long gone as of April. They have been taken down. But we'll find somewhere to go. Guys, have a great night.
You too, bud.
See you, Bruce. Thank you, as always. That segment brought to you by Lakeside Bank. We're way late. We'll put a bow on this thing before Bulls and Knicks coming up in a little bit on the Score.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, fantasy football fans, last night was something else. What a game it was. Let me tell you something. I was on pins and needles. You know, I'm on the phone with two of my league mates, one from San Antonio. The other is from Newport Beach. Guy from the Newport Beach, he calls his team the Juice Squeezers. Jimmy can't crack corn, and I do care. I'm just saying. Take care.
That'll do it.
Mercy.
Someone in O.J. Simpson's Fantasy Football League named their team the Juice Squeezers.
Oh, God. 45 years ago, O.J. Simpson was a hero of mine.
He is the living embodiment of an internet troll. Like, that's what he is now. It is odd to see. And Danny can't get enough of it. He texts me O.J. Simpson tweets. He's so into the O.J. Simpson tweets.
Yeah, you can't share them or else, you know, people demonize you. So, like, I figure I'd just send them right to you.
Yeah.
It's ideal for me. I just love thinking about the guys in his league, you know, and how they make fun of O.J., call your team the Juice Squeezers. And
yeah.
Just, you know, make sure you set your lineups when you're playing juice, though.
That, got to. You can't cross the juice.
Don't, yeah, I don't want to be angry about that.
No, don't make him an offensive trade, anything like that. You going to make the playoffs in your league, Matt, by the way?
I've got to run to make the cut.
Got to make the
gotta
cut.
Got to run to stay in the hunt. Be careful when you're using those two cliches. You can get caught between them. Chet one time got caught between somebody making a run to stay in the hunt and making the cut at Augusta.
Yeah.
It was a really ugly result. And I didn't touch the
button.
I didn't touch the dump button, no.
It was a different time.
Yeah, well, it was an honest mistake. He didn't even know he'd made it. He said after the shot, I want you to hear something. Let's go back to 7:25. Rewind the cassette.
Yeah. How did he take it?
Greg Norman shot a 74 today. He's going to have to run like hell. Oh, my goodness. Dangerous. Good God. Why didn't you hit the button on
it? I'm glad he realized it wasn't the right thing to do after the fact.
Bulls and Knicks tonight.
Do the Bulls have to?
Are favored. Will that be tomorrow's sports wine of the day, or will we learn more about the inner workings of the Lake Forest McCaskies?
No, don't worry. Your guy Mitch Trubisky gets to speak tomorrow.
Oh, that ought to be fun. Yeah, we had a great time today. Lots of football news. Colin Kaepernick's having a workout Saturday in Atlanta. Boomer Esiason was here today. So was Hub Arcus. So was Bruce Levine from the desert where it's 81 degrees.
The author of that bombshell piece in the Chicago Tribune. And yeah, I'm calling it that. Rich Campbell will be on the show tomorrow. Thank you to Studsy for filling in for Shep and doing your best Shep impression along the way. Chris Tannehill handles all the sound around here, makes us sound better than we are. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. David Schuster is coming up next. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
We were just on fire. We had the time of our life. We played just beautiful music all afternoon. We've been going. We've been jamming all day. Today, my dreams came true.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.